Hello, and welcome to another episode of Techsplaining. This is Rob Foster, and I'm here with all my friends, Brett, Mark, and Stephanie. So how's it going?
It's going great. I guess I should point out that you do only have three friends. So
I do. It's amazing. I'm surprised there that you guys actually still can hang on with me here.
Well, you do all the editing of the podcast, so we kind of have to keep you around. Yeah.
I feel so used. So what's going on? I hear there's a conference upcoming.
Yeah, so what is it? The SPC is coming back in May? Is that what you're talking about?
No, well, that is happening, yeah. But I think there's one sooner than that. Is that right?
Yeah, so in about 3 days, my conference happens, and I had my first hiccup today that I'm dealing with, so we'll see if I get any sleep the rest of the week.
Hey, let me ask you a question. What's that thing, Mark, in front of your face, since I see you on video? It looks like, is that a pop filter?
That's a pop filter on my blue snowball.
Wow, that's nice. Looks really like pro line. You got a real show going.
You know, this is almost like real podcasts, you know?
Very nice. Thank you.
Yeah. It was very nice.
Very nice. So, Brett, what's going on with you?
I'm getting ready to actually head over to Mark's conference. So, making sure we've got the speaker material all set, and I think I've chosen my shirt size for about the third time now. So just basically getting ready.
Oh, you read those emails?
Occasionally.
Do that. Occasionally. I really need to do that.
So yeah, busy, but Thursday morning I'll be flying out to Chicago, then Chicago to this place called Springfield, where I hear the Simpsons hang out, something like that.
I think technically Springfield, Kentucky, they figured out that they were from, not Springfield, Missouri. Yeah. There's like a Springfield in every state.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, well, sorry to disappoint.
Damn.
You could be going anywhere, actually.
Yeah.
From there. Just make sure you get on the right plane.
did you book the right Springfield? Did you check?
I hope so. I was hoping it might be like Minneapolis, you know, where you got like Snoopy sat on every single seat or something. There'll be all these like Duff beer bars and all that sort of thing.
No, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's no.
it won't be your last disappointment of the week. How about that?
Hey, at least you're bringing a real airline in. I had a very interesting experience on my way out there. Was it a couple of years ago now?
Yeah.
I took Orange Air, which is a super cheap airline, and they run all like MD-80s, and they're really old. I actually sat next to the mechanic that flies with the plane to go out there. So they keep those handy, which was, you
know,
really
comforting
being on that plane. I hope not. Yeah, so that was a good time.
Wow. Well, yeah, I'll be nearly as bad as that. I'm flying American Airlines.
Oh, that's cool. That's actually a decent flight to Chicago there with American.
Okay, cool. So yeah, American Airlines to Chicago, Chicago down to Springfield, and then heading back via Charlotte.
Yeah. Well, Stephanie, I'm assuming you're going. Are you going to totally disrespect Mark's conference?
Oh no, I'm staying home. No, I'll be there. I will be there pretty early, actually, too, doing a workshop on Thursday. We're talking about Office 365. So it seems to be a popular topic going through all the applications and stuff. So,
yeah.
Might be something we talk about occasionally.
Awesome. So yeah, I'll actually be working in the UK during conference week, and actually during the conference as well as during the summit week. So Brett, I guess I'll see you flying over. I'll wave at you as our planes pass through the air.
Yeah, so you'll be in London, and you'll be hitting the Lutterworth area Wednesday.
Wednesday or Thursday, yeah, depending on when I can get away from London. So I can't wait to get up there to the Midlands and spend time with you and your family. It's going to be awesome.
Well, if you can make it up on Wednesday, you'll get to join me playing Skittles.
Well, what?
Don't play with your food. Eat it.
Yeah, so look up the Northamptonshire Skittles table. And around sort of Northamptonshire and Leicestershire, they're in some pubs you have like a Skittles table, which is a bit like bowling, but you throw what's called a cheese at the table and see how many Skittles you can knock down. And nice. When I first moved to this village, I was walking the dog one day and I got invited out to play Skittles in the league. And now every Wednesday I go and play Skittles with a whole bunch of other geezers. And it's actually it's pretty good. We get to drink lots of beer. And yeah, they're all looking forward to meeting you.
Oh, it sounds like I need to come up on Wednesday then. Sorry, guys. I've got a Skittles tournament I got to go to. Good luck with your load test. I'm out. Yeah, that sounds awesome, actually. Yeah, okay. Well, I will plan to be there then. That sounds great. So I guess our show topic, I wanted to kind of get to that, is there's some things that I think we've all complained to each other about the platform that it just works like it works. And some things may be well documented, some things may not. You know, and so I guess, Mark, let's start with you. And what's your thing that's on this topic here that you want to talk about?
Sure. So I'm trying to think about things that, and the main point of this is not for us to complain, right? It's to kind of let people know about the bumps you may run into whenever you're using the platform. And maybe we have some ideas for help you to get around those things, or maybe we don't have an answer for you right now. But it's nice to know that you're not alone when you're out there struggling with this stuff too. So I think that's a good way of covering my butt a little bit on
that. Yeah, well, I guess I shouldn't say complain. That was a mistake on my part. I've got something I'm going to complain about, though, so go ahead.
So I want to talk a bit about search, because I am a huge fan of doing search in SharePoint Online and creating custom display templates where you can take your search results and you can format them to look however you want them to look. So we've been able to use this to a great deal of success to quickly search all of your policies and procedures across your entire tenant and then display those to you in such a way where we can customize the metadata that's shown so that we can add some visual customizations, like maybe color code it so that, you know, all of your HR documents are watermarked or color coded so you can quickly tell in your search results exactly what they are. And then along with those display templates, you can use custom refiners so that you can quickly drill down to find the document you're looking for. When we talk to our customers about it, it's like shopping on Amazon. Everybody can shop on Amazon. You look for shoes. Well, I want blue shoes that are a size 9. Well, I want my policy and procedures, but I want to see them for HR. Maybe I want to see a document from 2017. Right? You can quickly drill down and find the documents you want to find. It's awesome. Love it. However, in modern SharePoint and on the modern sites, there is no functionality currently to do the same sort of aggregated search with custom display templates and custom refiners. So this, if you're looking to move into modern and you rely heavily on these custom refiners and custom search templates, you can't do it yet. And I find this being a pretty compelling reason not to go modern if that's important to you. So,
well, you see, a little while ago, I believe we were sat in Chicago. You said go modern now.
Well, I'm giving, there's always a but. There's always a but. This is one of those big buts. You know, you need to understand all the things that are out there and all the big buts that are out there. Some people like big buts.
And they cannot lie.
They cannot lie. But you, my brothers, you can't deny. All right, I'll stop. But no, it is one of those considerations you have to think about if you're going to go to modern, how important search is to you. Right now, there is no answer to that. However, I'm hoping that when SPC happens in Vegas in May, that they're going to have some announcements around search. I know that they're looking into it and are working on it. So I don't expect this to be the story going long term, but it is something you need to take into consideration today.
Yeah, I think this is one of those things that's so important. It will evolve rapidly, and I do look for announcements coming out at SPC.
Yeah, this is a good reason to go to SPC. If you're fighting things and you want to know about what's coming in the announcements, they're holding a lot of these announcements in so that they can tell you in Vegas and get you excited about them. So I really hope that this is one of those things they talk about.
That's a good chance to get feedback too. I think Microsoft's definitely listening, so you can kind of tell them where your struggles are. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but in your alert panel, in your admin panel in Office 365, when they roll out new features, there's a like or dislike button and the ability to, when you give a like or dislike, to provide additional information. And there's a checkbox that says, is it okay if we contact you? So, you know, there's multiple ways of giving feedback. Tech community is one, but I've also noticed I've started giving some feedback when I see things in the admin panel and those alerts that come up with the new functionality. So I've not been contacted yet. Nobody's calling me, but I thought that was interesting that apparently they've had scenarios where they wanted to reach out to people. So,
well, if anybody calls you up and says that they're from Microsoft, you start making fun of them, right?
You hang up immediately. Yeah, right.
They disabled the dislike button on Rob's tenant, though. So,
yeah. Yeah, interesting. Yes, funny thing you should mention about disabling and enabling things. I guess that was a good crossover there pass off. But the one of the things that we've noticed is that we live in a fair, or I live in a fairly highly governed way we have to push features out to things like Teams and our people. So things like SharePoint and Planner and Flow and all of that. We want to just make sure, because we have an O365 single tenant or dedicated environment. And we like to make sure that, you know, we have to go through all these checks and balances to make sure that when we push a feature out, our data is secured in a certain way. You know, it might have to go through SOC 2 compliance or something like that, to where we have to certify the platform so that we can store specific data on it. Well, one of the things we noticed the other day that was turned off was Planner. And our people were giving us great feedback. Oh, man, we love Planner. Planner's awesome. We, you know, thank you for providing such a great tool. Well, I kind of took a deep breath, because Planner is actually disabled for all of our people. And so through tools like Microsoft Teams, or if you go to tasks.office.com, you can get into Planner. But it was essentially disabled, for the license was turned off. So I raised a ticket, a support ticket with Microsoft, and it came back that what the story was the licensing feature works, in the fact that all it does is it just shows and hides Planner from your app launcher, rather than disabling it from being able to be accessed. So it's one of those what they call free apps that you get with part of Office 365, and it just gets turned on when any Office 365 component gets activated. So you can start accessing things like Planner. And there's a handful of these free apps that they say was either already activated or was going down the same model.
That's speechless. So does that, what about, so you've disabled Planner and you open up Teams. When you go to your tabs and Teams, do you still have Planner in your tabs and Teams?
You do. Or? Yeah. Yeah. So it's there in Teams, and you can add a plan to a team. And then you can start adding tasks and things like that. And people love it. I mean, it's extremely useful. But as far as like certification and us being able to take a look at it from a risk perspective, that just wasn't an option. It's just turned on.
So what do you do about that?
We are working through that right now. I guess we're just going to have to deal with it, right? It's just part of it. And I mean, I really understand it, and I want to, from an end user perspective, there's a value in providing all these tools to people. So like Planner and Flow and Power Apps and all of this stuff. But from a risk perspective, it's just something that we have to really look closely at. And we're having to, I mean, there's nothing we can do about it right now, right? You can't turn off Planner. You can't disable it. It's just there. So we're having to quickly scramble to make sure that it gets the proper risk people looking at it.
Bring back features.
So Rob, do you have a policy out right now, like in the meantime, to say, hey, use this at your own risk? I mean, is that something that you communicate out to everyone, or do you just kind of embrace it and go with it?
Well, right now we're just embracing it. I mean, there's not really, we don't think that, because you can't really upload files, you know, per se in a document management way, right? You can't really share documents through Planner. You can't really multi-edit. So we think the risk is minimal, because it's really just tasks and assigning that to people or whatever. But it's so, but that's Planner, right? Who's to say the next feature that they randomly enable on us isn't something that could introduce a lot of risk, right? So that's just a model we're having to figure out what we're going to do with that. And this is hot off the presses. So this ticket got opened and closed last week. So fairly hot off the presses for me. Just something to keep in mind. And I know you guys are dealing with it as well. And you know, pretty much everybody that uses the platform has to work through issues like that.
This is one of the things that you just have to take into consideration when you move to the cloud, isn't it? It's you're not in control. I guess if you want to be in control at that level, then really you need to look at staying on premises if you're
that's right, and it's you're not, and its features are rolling out very fast, and they are for the benefit of the people, right? For the people using the platform. I mean, Planner, there's a lot of benefit in that. There's a lot of benefit in Flow and Power Apps and, you know, Sway and, you know, all of these different things that come into account, Microsoft Forms, right? So there are a lot of things out there that can benefit, but like you said, you don't have the control over that like you used to. But in on a plus side, you don't have to maintain it, right? So as these new features come out, you just get them. And so it's one of those things you've got to weigh.
But you do have to support those things. And I think that's a lot of what our customers see, because they have small IT departments and they see all these tiles and they're like, I want all that off. I don't want to support that. If we release that, people are going to use it and now we have to support it.
Yeah.
So they were already overwhelmed learning a few things. Now they're overwhelmed with all of these things they have to support.
Yep,
yes
that's
and
right.
No, though. They're using that stuff anyway, right? Those same users who are like, you need to support me. They're out there. They're using Trello on their own. They know it's not supported by IT, so they just don't ask questions, right? But they go from using Trello to using Planner now that it's provided by the business. Now they need support. So I think there's a, you know, maybe a little middle ground you could find with your users and kind of helping them help themselves to some level, because they do go out and they use other technologies.
Reasonable users. There's such a thing as a reasonable user who's going to say, oh, you forced me, you made me get rid of Trello and you're not going to support me using Planner. I mean.
Oh. You know, what's interesting too, is that some of those features, as they're enabled in the environment like Teams, it says right on there, right now you can globally turn Teams off. It's an on-off switch. But it says right on there, this switch is not staying. Eventually you will have to manage this by user, right? So at some point they're also going to make it very difficult. If you manage an environment, for example, Rob, the one you're managing is very large. So to manage that by user also becomes a huge challenge. So they're definitely pushing to get that stuff on and to keep it on.
See, I wonder if that's true, though, because, I mean, they're not doing that with OneDrive, right? So you can manage OneDrive at the user level, and you can turn it off, and you can turn it on selectively, and we're doing that by different countries that are rolling it out so that we can stagger the rollout into OneDrive. And same thing with Exchange, right? You don't have to move everybody up to the cloud. You can keep Exchange on premises. So I wonder, part of me thinks that part of me wants them to do that, but I wonder if they ever will, because the model is pretty set for Exchange and Teams right now. You can selectively roll people onto these technologies by just flipping on the license or flipping it off. But I wonder if there really is going to be any movement there to say, you know what, when you enable, you get an Office 365 license and you might can do Exchange differently, but everything else, SharePoint and all the other tools, you're just going to have to get when you turn it on.
Yeah,
I mean, it could be, right? I mean, I don't know. Part of me wants it to happen that way, but part of me, you know, I guess the business side of me doesn't think that, I don't think enterprises will allow that to happen.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely a very cautious atmosphere still. I feel like, you know, people are just getting used to having their information in the cloud. And so there's still, IT really wants a lot of control over that. So we're seeing a really slow push into the cloud, but very cautious about how things get rolled out. How many applications do they give users at a time? Also a lot of fear, if I give them too much, are they overwhelmed? So I think that's another piece of that. I think Mark referenced earlier, what can I turn off in the immediate so they don't even see it and they can't be overwhelmed by something they don't know about, right? So I think it's an interesting, it'll be interesting going forward to see how all that plays out.
So, I mean, how many companies do you think haven't yet moved, because we're still, I think I touched on this in a previous episode, but you know, we're still seeing the vast majority of our customer space is SharePoint 2013. And yet we've seen a big uptake in Office 365, but there's still a lot that are still on SharePoint 2013. And they're probably seeing all of this discussion about how fast Office 365 is moving. How many of those do you think might consider moving up to SharePoint 2019 because they don't want that? do you think that's going to be a part of it, or do you think they're just going to embrace Office 365 and SharePoint 2019 really is just a stepping stone to move them towards the cloud?
Well, I think it comes down a lot of times to cost and versus risk. And for the mid-market, at least, that's where Mark and I spend a lot of our time. And hand over fist, everybody's going to the cloud if instead of upgrading on-prem. But that's a size thing, right? And it's a matter of, you know, if you're under 5,000 users, you're managing servers, and that's difficult. And you're working with a small IT group versus the number of users that you have. And so we're still seeing a big push. Nobody's waiting for 2019 on-prem for the most part, unless they have some kind of compliance issue, or they've got offshore headquarters and they don't want their stuff in the US cloud, things like that. But from what I can see, there's no concern over the quick rollout of new features. The money trumps all of it, at least from my perspective.
Well, I think from a risk perspective as well, it you have to look at, if you say let's roll into SharePoint 2019, right? That's going to give you essentially SharePoint services on premises. Now, you have to take into account what other services they're using on top of that to compensate what you would get also in Office 365, right? So to get that Teams experience, the first and foremost, people are going to go use Slack. To get Planner, they're going to go to Trello. So they're going to use a combination of tools which may introduce more risk to you. To your company, rather than just let's bite the bullet, let's go to Office 365 and let's provide this as a suite of tools that we can put governance around. We can put all of our documents here, and you know, when it's shared, it does this and that, rather than having this mashup of different technologies that would be required I don't think it'd be required. I think people are just going to go to them and they're going to gravitate towards that and use those tools.
I agree. And I think one of the nice things also, because it's so cut and dry, here's what you can do and here's what you can't do, it makes our lives a little bit easier supporting it, because it's like, well, I want you to turn on this off, or I want you to turn this off, I want you to do everything granular. And you're like, no, you can't. It's not an option. So it does make our lives easier to help them get set up and configure it too, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So speaking of one of those little granular options, I've got something to add to the storyline here in terms of things that I've heard recently. Not a complaint per se, it's actually an improvement that I'm excited about, but it'll definitely, I think it's something that's going to catch people as it comes around. But if you're not familiar, the external sharing component, when you on your homepage add the everyone group or the all authenticated users group, the assumption is, you kind of in your head when you set up that homepage, you're thinking internal users, right? And then you go somewhere else in the environment and add an external user, your assumption is that external user has limited access. But come to find out, you know, you're sharing a site collection, so number one, that external user knows the root site collection because they know the site collection that you've added them to, right? So that's root/site/whatever site you added them to. Now, if you've added the everyone group to your root site collection, that external user could get access to your homepage. So this has been an issue. It actually came up recently where a customer did this, and they had external users accessing their homepage because they had added the everyone group or the all authenticated users group. But that's being remedied now. That was one of the alerts I got today in the Office 365 Admin Center, was that they are now removing that capability, that those external users are not considered part of everyone. And that's not always something that, you know, maybe if you had planned for external users right away, maybe you thought about that. But in the context, you think, oh, I'm spinning up my homepage, we're not dealing with external users yet, you might add everyone just thinking, well, that's all internal users. So I thought that was a really interesting thing that just popped up here this week, that'll kind of help people out, but that definitely catches that might catch you off guard, something that you're not looking for.
Go ahead, Brett.
Yeah, I was going to say, so I think it's been pretty well educated that users are actually building separate site collections for external users that I've come across. I thought that a lot of people that are our customers, they have a complete mess, and that's why they're looking for a permissions management tool. But when it's come down to Office 365, they all seem to have taken on board, if I'm going to have external users, that content's going to be in a separate site collection. I'm not going to mix match content for internal users and content for external users in the same site collection. I can see that issue, but I'm glad Microsoft filled that gap.
Well, it's important to note that according to this announcement that as of March 26th, if you shared anything with everyone and you had external users accessing it, they're not going to be able to access it after March 26th. So if you meant for that external site collection to be shared with everyone and you use the everyone group, they won't have access after March 26th. So you need to get that fixed in your environment.
So Edward Snowden's just got another few weeks. Get rid of
that. No, I think it's a good thing. I really do. That's one of the things that we wanted to, that we work really hard, especially with our client-facing systems, is that you have to prove, you know, things like that, right? When you say this is shared with everyone, it's not shared with everyone. It's shared with a controlled group of users, right? And I think that's a massive plus for us. So I was really happy to see that announcement come through.
I already had one client reach out today freaking out about it, saying that they're actually going to move documents out of SharePoint because of it.
What? Come on.
I didn't want to say anything. Well, in case they're listening, I don't want to say anything bad about them, but yeah.
So where are they going? In Teams? I don't know.
Dropbox, I don't know.
Wow. So yeah. So we recently we ran a UK community day, which I don't know if anybody's come across that. It's part of the SharePoint user group that we had in the UK. It's we started a separate thing and now it's merged. But the UK community day is where people attend a day. They can bring their own laptops, and as well as having lectures from speakers. It's all hands-on, and people are getting involved. And we ran one on Power Apps recently, and I must admit, it was quite a big eye-opener how many people came into that class and didn't know anything about Power Apps, and by the end of it, had produced some pretty cool stuff. They were, some of them had built games. Even one of them was flying a little Hoverbot using his phone. I'm like, you had 3 hours and you came up with that. It was pretty outstanding. Which kind of reverses what I was going to say about Power Apps, that if we take InfoPath and I was certainly frustrated that InfoPath, you could get sort of 80 or 90% done what you wanted to achieve. And there's always a showstopper where you had to turn to VB or something like that to fix it. Power Apps to me has been the same sort of experience. It seems nice and simple from the outset, but then you start reaching limitations. There's no context and things like that when you're trying to access SharePoint list content. What's been your experience with that? I know, Mark, I think you've been looking at this quite heavily around the form side.
Yeah, well, from my forms experience, I'm really looking at doing things where you can do things like parent-child relationships and cascading drop-downs easily. And I know they're adding some of that to Power Apps. If it's not already there, there's like, but that's the business logic of the form has kind of been my driver for my Stratus Forms, the free tool that I created that's available at stratusforms.com. I things like repeating content that you could do in InfoPath, things like that nature is why I have leaned towards Stratus Forms for a lot of things. And I still don't know if Power Apps is quite there for doing things like that. Can you do repeating content?
I think it's, if it's not there now, it is very, very soon. Yeah, I've seen it demoed. Yeah. But yeah, you see all the sample templates and how powerful they are, some great looking stuff, but it becomes sort of very fiddly to try and achieve the same thing from scratch. It seems it's not that intuitive yet, and I hope it will become that way. But for me, it's still quite basic. But certainly seeing it head in the right direction, I think.
Yeah, well, with Kathy do at the helm, you know it's going to work out. So,
well, yeah,
go Kathy.
That's very true. Well, it's definitely filling a gap, right? Not everybody has a developer on staff, and not everybody's able to get, you know, enough budget to go get a really great forms builder. So I do think there's use for it. I think there are scenarios where it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. But for sure, you know, I know there's limitations, things as simple as, you know, adding an attachment into the form or something like that. So definitely looking for good things to come though.
I think we can all agree you should get off of InfoPath. Just say no to InfoPath.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. One of the things I'll be talking about at your conference, Mark, is connecting to on-premises data as well. And that's something that is surprisingly easy. But again, one of those things that you really need to think about and what you're doing. Because you can add the Microsoft Data Gateway pretty quickly and connect to things like Oracle databases and SQL databases, just like you would do with Power BI or something like that. So they're actually using the same Power BI component to access on-prem data. But you know, we're creating a CRUD environment, so people are going to be writing back as well. And then you start getting into the realms of, well, I need to start validating some of this data that's going to be fed back into the database, and these validation controls are pretty weak. And you know, I'm going to have to start writing code at that point. And that's right. Where I'm coming from, where you know, really cover that sort of first 80% pretty easily. But then it's the nitty gritty that takes the effort. And without having developers that know it, or having developers available, like you say, you're dealing with SMEs that don't have the IT staff to hand. Are you going to get citizen developers building this stuff? And before you know it, your DBA is going crazy.
Yeah, good point.
But
I'm excited for your session, though. Yeah, I definitely want to attend it.
Yeah, thank you. That was a good plug for
you.
I mean, that to me is a genuine concern, and you know, that does need some thought going into it, because using Power BI, you're able to analyze the data, but the difference with Power Apps is the fact that you're writing back to it as well. And the early days of the Business Data Catalog, I know that was made read write, and then I think Microsoft decided to make it read only on the outset, and it was not until SharePoint 2010 before we had external lists that could write back. Maybe a bit more thought needs to be addressed on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll do the session. We'll see where that.
Hey, on that topic, Brad. I mean, how many users is that really targeted at? Is that something that to where the citizen developers can essentially create something for like a small team, or is it something that would scale to hundreds or thousands of people?
I don't see why it wouldn't scale. It's something that they could could develop the apps then available to distribute to your organization. So. Yeah, I think that's the thing. For me, it would need, if it was going to become a big solution, then you're going to invest in that time and effort to get it done properly, make sure that you know the data is secure and so on. But it could also be a small app where there's just a handful of users that might be salespeople on the field or something, need to be able to update customer data or something like that, and therefore it might be quite handy.
Yeah.
I can see your dog there in the background.
Oh yeah, he's running around.
I was thinking, who, me? I don't have a dog. That darn ghost dog.
Yeah, I'm actually sitting outside for the listeners here. It's like 65 degrees here in Nashville, and it's just perfect.
Cool. So, Rob, you're not going to be at the conference. You'll be here in London, and so when do you get in?
I get in. I leave Sunday, so I get in Monday morning. I basically land and then go straight into the office.
Fantastic!
Great. We'll have to get together and do a podcast in Branson too, because I'm bringing some podcasting gear, and we can get together and make fun of Rob, and he can't say anything about it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, that's awesome.
We'll bring a cardboard cutout of you. Put it next to some small people. Make you happy.
That'd be awesome. So I guess that's the end of the show here. And we've hopefully highlighted some issues that we're running into that you need to be aware of. And obviously, well, this is an ever growing list. So, you know, please stay tuned for more info on this topic. But if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to reach out to us at info@techsplaining.net. And we will love to hear from our listeners. And any questions you have, just shoot them our way. And until next time, this is Rob, Brett, Mark, and Stephanie. So thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Take care.